Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertie.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to discuss how to become a superstar public speaker with our guest, Jen Grisanti. Jen is an international public speaker and writing instructor at NBC. She is the author of Finding Gold in Your Life Story, TV Writing Toolkit, and Change Your Story, Change Your Life. It is my pleasure to welcome Jen to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, Jen. Every single time I have someone on my podcast, I always want to know what was the trigger that got them started. So what got you started as a public speaker?
I love that question. I would say I went through a type of all is lost moment, which is everything I go through in my book, Storyline, and Change Your Story, Change Your Life. And my all is lost moment was when I had worked for 15 years as a studio executive, and my contract was not picked up. So that all is lost moment led me into a journey of defining what I wanted to do next. And in defining what I wanted to do next, I recognized the value that I had in learning from the top showrunners and producers, including Aaron Spelling, in the entertainment business. So from there, I decided to open my own company where I could impart the lessons that I had learned from them onto the writer. So that led me to build the concept of my company. And in doing so, I created a mission statement that really triggered what I wanted to do as a speaker, as an author, as a story career consultant for writers. And that mission statement is to stop isolation and create community on a global level through the telling of story. So that was what triggered me into the speaking realm.
The speaking realm is a very interesting one because there are a lot of speakers who we watch. They've done TED Talks and stuff like that. They've got millions of views. We like to hear them talk. But public speaking's also, I think there are a lot of surveys that say it's one of the things that we fear the most. So when you got started on the path to being a public speaker, what were you thinking? Were you thinking about that fear or of just like speaking in front of people, or were other thoughts running in your mind?
I think the greatest thing I was thinking about was the message that I wanted to deliver. I definitely feel that there's always fear when it comes to public speaking. And I think when you move through that fear and you face that fear and you get to the other side of it, when you've had a successful event, that there is no greater high. So I think it's really just thinking about and knowing what the message is that you want to deliver and having clarity on it that helps move you through whatever fear you have with regards to speaking.
So at the beginning, I'm sure it's a lot more fearful at the start because you're just trying to get a footing for yourself. How are you able to establish yourself, not just as a successful speaker, we'll get into that later, but how are you able to establish yourself to the point where it's still a little fearful, but it's not like the fear is consuming you or taking up a large amount of your time until you actually speak?
I think that you will always have fear, no matter how much public speaking you do. And I think the transformation that happens internally is when you learn to use that fear to your advantage. And for me, I think in my process, and I've done public speaking now, gosh, I started my international public speaking in 2013. And I would say I've done public speaking for the last 8 years with regards to the beginning when I opened my company. And a large part of what I've learned in the process of all the events that I've done and really creating the idea of the events is, you know, looking at the outcome, seeing it clearly, knowing what I want to deliver, and really recognizing, you know, what the transformation is that I want for the audience. So I think in learning that and understanding that, it certainly helps you to get there and to be confident and to recognize that the fear is just a part of the whole process.
That transformation part is a wonderful experience. Any public speaker who has gone through that transformation knows the how you have to go from start to reaching that point of being more confident, but still a little fearful as a speaker. Throughout your journey, what was your biggest source of motivation that helped you throughout your journey as a public speaker?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I had a moment at the very beginning of my career where I went and spoke. You know, I was paid good money to go to an event, an out-of-state event, and it was my first big event. And I had a moment on the stage where I went through a type of panic attack where it felt like someone had literally taken an eraser and erased the last 17 years of my experience. And how I dealt with moving through that during the moment was I asked the audience a question. I said, why are you here and what do you hope to gain from this? Because I recognized that for the first time in my speaking career, even though it was toward the very beginning of it, I didn't know anyone in the audience. And so it was a new experience for me and it was a new place. And when I started hearing about why they were there and what they hoped to gain, then all of my fear calmed. And I was able, you know, it was an 8-hour day. So it was really recognizing that you can move through that. And what I learned from that experience, and I had a presentation. So there was no reason to fear. Like I had everything there. I was completely ready. But for whatever reason, I think the panic of the recognition that I was in a new place, I didn't know anyone, and I had 8 hours ahead of me, just kind of overtook me in the moment. And I think after that moment, what I learned on the way home was I really went through, and it was still a very successful event. And what I went through was really recognizing that I had 17 years of information, and yet I had never read one single book on presenting or public speaking or doing events. I just took for granted that my knowledge was enough, and I didn't do the homework that I needed to do to really find the success that I knew I was capable of doing. So that led me to the first books that I got that had the strongest impression on me were by Jerry Weissman, and it was the Presenting to Win series. And it was really through recognizing that, because what I discovered in those books was Jerry said, the reason we have fear and we have panic attacks is when we don't know the material. And for me, I had known the material, but I didn't know my intro. Like I didn't have my intro down separate from my presentation. And because I hadn't mentally prepared that, that led me to panic. And so in learning from that moment, which I honestly am very grateful for that moment, because it led me into really learning about everything that's involved in public speaking and everything that's involved in putting together the type of presentation that was going to create the type of transformation that I was seeking.
It's very interesting how you point out you had a lot of the expertise and you knew what to say, but it was just getting that intro out. I feel like some people who pursue public speaking, they'll have the knowledge, but they won't be able to convey it properly. So it is great that you took the initiative and read all of those books about how to become a better public speaker.
Yes.
Are there any you could recommend off the bat other than the one you already mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, definitely Jerry Weissman, and then I think it's called As We Speak. That was another one. Let me check real quick. But I think that, you know, anything that you do research-wise, like I think what I began to recognize is do the research and really look up the type of speakers who are where you want to be and if they've written books. And really, I mean, I studied a number of, I mean, there's a great book called Start With Why by Simon Sinek that went into everything that I talk about with leading with your why, but mine was in story and his was in business. And I think it was in really understanding what he had to say combined with what I had to say and really finding, you know, a new ground of teaching through that. There was also a book that I loved called Engage by Brian Solis that was also excellent and just, again, I think really understanding what is the transformation. And also like reading books like Zen Presentation was a book that I had read that kind of went into the idea of what you wanted in a presentation. And I would say, you know, another thing, valuable lesson that I learned with public speaking was I actually spoke at Google, I think 2 years ago. And yeah, thank you. And it was my first experience in front of the business audience. So what I learned was, you know, going into that, I had done mainly entertainment audience. People had read my book. They had paid for a ticket. They knew who they were coming to see. And it was a very different experience. So this was, you know, a business group who had no idea who I was, and I was going to teach them about story. And I stood at Google and I watched the presentations before mine, and they had color, and mine was just a PowerPoint presentation. And these had color, and they had slides, and they had pictures. And I think there was like a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know this and I wish that I had known this. And, you know, then I in the talk and then during the talk, and, you know, this was another thing that you learn from because these things happen. Like during the talk, they where they had the screen and they had to have my computer away from the podium of where I was speaking. So I no longer had my material directly in front of me. And the screen was at an angle that was hard to really see. So you kind of really have to understand your material, know your material back and forth, and be ready for those types of situations where you are going to face obstacles in the delivery. And I think walking away from that, and you know, everything went well, but I think it really was sobering for me to learn. They said, oh, the business world, they like things in color because they have much, you know, there's much more ADD going on here. And when you deliver in color, it keeps their attention. So since then, I started using Prezi versus PowerPoint presentation or keynote. And with Prezi, I've had tremendous success in the entertainment industry. And suddenly it was creating these type of presentations that had color and slides, which obviously you can do on the other two as well, but kind of brought it more to life through animation. So again, I think these are things that you learn as you go.
It's interesting that you mentioned Prezi, because so far I've only used that for school projects. I've heard of some businesses using it, but now I'm going to consider using Prezi for my future presentations.
I love it. I could not recommend it more, and I have gotten such a strong response from my clients about it. So it is an excellent, excellent software for presentations.
What I really like about your story as a public speaker is that I feel like there's a misconception where people look at this really successful public speaker like you and they think, oh, that person's a natural born public speaker. And what people really don't see is they don't see the bottom of the iceberg, where it's you, for instance, putting in all the work to do research and to learn how to become an effective public speaker. So you've done all of that stuff. So I just wanted to make that clear to listeners that Jen worked her way up, and then that's how she became an international public speaker.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think it's like anything in life. I remember when I first started my own business, and I looked at people who were where I wanted to be, like Robert McKee, who is huge in my world of story. And I remember thinking, I want to be where he is. But what I had to recognize in my journey was his was a 25-year journey to be where he was. So I had to recognize that, yes, I had done the work as a studio executive. I had gotten to the vice president level. But now I had to start over as a speaker, author, story consultant, coach, and really build and go to the same type of destination, and had to do the work to get there, because that's what it is it's really knowing where you want to go, having clarity, and then taking action to get you there.
So you've done a lot of things within your journey. You've learned a lot of new things along the way. You mentioned some of your mistakes and what you were able to learn from them. What is the best lesson you have learned throughout your journey?
The biggest thing that I've learned through public speaking is it doesn't matter the size of your audience. It really is about the transformation. I teach for Writers on the Verge at NBC, where there's 8 or 9 people in the class for a 12-week period. So I can go from an audience like that to, in Australia, we had around 350 people. And I think the energy, and in Toronto, I had like 300 to 350 people. So I think it is really recognizing that it doesn't matter. You can have 25 people, you can have 8 people, you can have 350 people. You have to know and be confident about your message, about the transformation, and really recognize that the joy and the fulfillment is, even if you connect with one person and help give them an answer or excite them about how they can now approach what they're going to do, it's a gift.
It's interesting how you mentioned even if there are 8 people. And then I was thinking about something as you were continuing on your story. And it's that a lot of people think about public speaking, they just want to get in front of the 10,000 people in the same place. But you got to do those public speaking gigs at the beginning where maybe you have 8 people or only 25 people in the audience. You start there, and if you deliver at your best, instead of just thinking, oh, it's just 8 people, then you're going to end up getting more attention and eventually get that 10,000 people audience.
And that is, and I mean, like, in the entertainment world, like, it's fascinating, because I know in the business world, the audience of 10,000 or 10,000 people on a call is a destination that people move toward, and I applaud that many people receive. I would say in the entertainment world, it's a smaller niche. So when you look at an audience of 350, you're looking at a massive success as far as a number of people. And I think when you're moving into the online stuff of the 10,000 people, that I think that's a tremendous success and reflection of the message and how it's resonating with the audience. And I aspire to that, Mark. I have to tell you, I do aspire to that. That would be a great thing.
So there are a lot of listeners. Some of them want to go on to be public speakers. Others are looking to grow their blog traffic. Basically, they're looking for a breakthrough in their business. What advice do you have for the listeners who are trying to reach the breakthrough that they're going after?
Do you know, I mean, when I started my own business 8 years ago, and yes, I had worked in the corporate world for 17 years, so I certainly had the foundation of the business. I had the credibility. I had knowledge in a certain area. But opening your own business was a whole new area. So for me, what I learned breakthrough-wise and what I really think is great for everyone to be aware of is I think that comes down as well to educating yourself and doing the work. And really, I would say from a marketing perspective, my biggest breakthrough, and it's something that I teach to entrepreneurs in how to tell and reveal their story when it comes to their company, is really recognizing the trigger and dilemma that led you to open your company and how your dilemma may link with the dilemma of your client and the outcome you want to get. So say, for example, in my company, I recognized when my contract wasn't picked up, I think my biggest dilemma was, what is going to happen if all of this knowledge that I have to take the writer to the next level or the storyteller to the next level has no value? And then when I was devising the concept of my company, what I recognized were there were, writers all over the world who didn't have the exposure to somebody with the studio executive perspective that could move them to the next level. So I recognized their dilemma was getting people to read their material that was going to get them to the next level. And in recognizing their dilemma versus my dilemma and the void that my service could fill, that really caused a major breakthrough. And it's definitely something that I teach entrepreneurs.
One of the things I hear a lot is that you want to create a product or service that solves the customer's problem. But You approach it as solving your problem while solving the customer's problem at the same time to achieve that mutual benefit. I find that very interesting.
Do you know, it's fascinating. I like how you picked up on that. In story, what we look at in story, in fictionalized story, is the idea that the central character, when his or her world is turned upside down at the beginning and they're bringing their life back in balance, in the first three quarters of the story, the achievement of the goal is ego-driven. It's all about what they need with the outcome. And then through hitting the obstacles in the all is lost moment, they move into the spirit and they recognize that achieving the goal is not only about them, it's about the greater good. And I would say it's the same for the journey and transformation of the entrepreneur. In healing themselves, they can help others do in their transformation and what they need. So it's really recognizing how in the service that you provide to others, you not only are helping them, you're also helping yourself.
So I could find that story script in a lot of different movies, right?
Yep, definitely.
Wow. I mean, I know they have like the same storyline, but when you hear it, you watch enough movies thinking this is the sequence of how it happens, different people, same sequence. It's crazy just to think that. Like, how could like Shrek and Avengers have like the same sequence?
Yes, and yet it is. Like, a prime movie that I talk about in Storyline Finding Gold in Your Life Story is Up in the Air. When you look at Up in the Air, and I think Shrek is also an excellent example, and if I had that breakdown, if I had broken down that movie, I would give that. But I would say in Up in the Air, you look at the transformation of, in the beginning, George Clooney's character wants to achieve the goal of not getting grounded for his own personal reasons because He wants to keep his highfalutin single lifestyle that is based on the philosophy of go through life with an empty backpack. And it's through hitting the obstacles on his way to the goal, the midpoint being when he falls in the water with his biggest fear, which is the picture of his sister who's engaged and her fiance. And he falls into the water and Natalie says to him, you put yourself in a cocoon of self-banishment. And there's suddenly a recognition that his philosophy of going through life with an empty backpack and non-commitment and detachment is no longer serving him. And that leads him to take action in a more positive direction. And then when he does accomplish the goal, it's through the recognition of if he doesn't achieve the goal of not getting grounded, then people like the woman who jumped off of the bridge could happen more because they're not getting the personal attention of losing their job in a situation where somebody is there for support. They're having it online. And so he recognized, he shifted into, I have to achieve this goal to help others versus just thinking about myself.
Jed, you possess a lot of expertise when it comes to identifying stories and how you can use this knowledge to help people craft excellent stories of their own. But there are a lot of experts in different areas listening to this right now, wondering how can I use my expertise to get more speaking engagements? So what are three tips that you have for getting more speaking gigs?
You know, it's really interesting because I thought about this a lot when you had mentioned it. I would say for me, I remember at the beginning, really wondering how that was going to happen. And I would say the first big thing you can do is do webinars as a way to get your name and your message out there. And I think it's all about building your brand, creating great content that is accessible and out there so that people know who you are, they know your story, they know what you have to deliver, and that creates, you know, invitations. Like now I'm at the point in my career where people do come to me versus me hearing about great speaking gigs and maybe reaching out. And I would say the biggest thing too is not being afraid to ask. Like, I think so many entrepreneurs will look at people who are doing all these incredible speaking gigs all over the world, and they'll think that it's unattainable, and it isn't unattainable. It is all about if you have the content and there is an audience for your message, then there is a need for you to be out there speaking. And so, you know, I would say the three would be create great content, don't be afraid to ask, and then follow people who are where you want to be.
I like the idea of following people where you want to be. I feel like we all need to have some role model who's doing what we want to do. I think Jim Rohn said it, I'm not fully sure, but you are the average of the five people who you spend most of your time with. And I get that means like people like in your real life, but that could also mean role models who you're tracking on the web.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I believe, you know, everyone, I could say that I've had a million incredible mentors in the business world who I've never met just through reading their books, watching their videos, following them online. They've impacted my career.
All right. Just before we close, Jen, I want you to share one awesome inspirational quote you could think of right now.
You know, I am sure that you get, you know, probably many people saying this quote, but for me, it is a quote that I have on my desk. It is something that is everything I think about as far as my business and breathing life into my brand every day, and that's Gandhi's quote of be the change you wish to see in the world.
Thank you for providing us with that very inspirational nugget. I've heard it said in different ways before, I have heard the Gandhi quote before once, so I'm happy that you bring that up again.
Good.
So, finally, before we conclude, where can we find Jen Grisanti on the web?
Very easy. You can find me at jengrisanti.com, which I'm sure they'll have the spelling on your website. You can Google me, Jen Grisanti. You can email me, Jen at jengrisanti.com. And yeah, you can find out all of the services that I have to offer. And I just want to say, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I love what you're doing. I think this is fantastic. You're providing a tremendous value for people to learn how to create success as a public speaker. So I'm very honored to be a part of this.
Thank you, Jen, for taking the time to be on the podcast. I appreciate the kind words.
You got it.
All right. Take care, Jen.
All right. You too.
I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. Many of us fear public speaking, and Jen had an introduction to public speaking that reinforces that fear for some of us. However, instead of letting that one setback deter her from continuing and making that her entire story with public speaking, Jen pressed on and is now crushing it at speaking gig after speaking gig. The fear that holds us back is as big or as little as we make it, conquering those walls that you use to hold yourself back, and that will allow you to set yourself up for your breakthrough. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry, we've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markguberti.com/E12 for those. You can ask your questions over there, which I'll be more than happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Are you thinking about outsourcing your business? If you are, you'll be interested in my Outsourcing Domination training course. In this course, I talk about experiencing success with your freelancers and how you can make a profit from outsourcing your tasks to other people. The course is valued at $100, but as a valued Breakthrough Success listener, I'm going to give you a 75% discount, and you can get that discount by heading over to markguberti.com/outsource. This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.